is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 11th of March, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Let me start the show by wishing Pamela White a happy, happy birthday. I don't know where you are, but I hope you're having a great time, and I hope you're not too far from your loved ones. Happy, happy birthday. Let me remind you of the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition, open to junior and high school students throughout the archipelago of the Bahamas. We know that students are in school at this time, and so parents can facilitate participation by their children, their young people, by submitting the answers on their behalf. When you call the show, let us know you want to play the game. We're looking for two pieces of information. The government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will, and the recorded date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death. There are lots of prizes and surprises waiting for the four potential winners. One winner will be selected, or we will have one winner in four categories: New Providence, Grand Bahama, San Salvador, and the rest of the family of islands. We say thank you to Mr. Carlton, Dennis Carlton Smith, for organizing this competition. Also, the On the Clock T-shirt and magazine recycling program, the recycling drive, is still running. And if you want to see what we're doing with some of the magazines, you should check out Ponciana Paper Press at number 12 Park Gate Road. Right now, the show The Earth Breathes Every Season is still up, and it is a wonderful show. You really should check it out. It's a great show for young people as well to see some of the things that they could be doing right in their own country. Okay, so there's lots to talk about this morning, plenty in the paper, but I could not miss the end of Morning Blend. I live in the Johnson Road community. If you live in the Johnson Road area, then you understand that pot cakes and raccoons and cats, pot cakes are a part of the fabric of Johnson Road. You can't live in Johnson Road without seeing or hearing a dog. The vast majority of dogs are owned by someone, and if not owned by someone, loved by someone. In fact, there's a dog that we will never forget in Johnson Road, at least in the part of Johnson Road I'm in. His name was Duke. Duke, the king of Bonnie Way. There's not a yard that could keep Duke. This boy was an escape artist, right? And at one point, when his family of adults decided, like as a family, they took on this health routine. Every morning they would get up, the whole family, grandmother, grandfather, mother, father, children, even some of the siblings in the same homestead, and they would walk for exercise in the morning. And that dog, Duke, was their lead. A guide dog and more. The lead, because you would think, okay, you take your dog with you, give him some exercise, but also to deter other dogs from messing. No, Duke knew every dog in Johnson Road, and Duke had Bay Rim. In fact, Duke would walk ahead of his owners, right, and stop at every house where he had offspring. And some of them would come out the yard and join him on the walk, and then go back home after the walk was done. Right? But what you also see on Johnson Road is that people treat dogs as well as they treat themselves. There's not a time, like when they eat, the dog gonna eat, it may be the scraps left over, but they saving something for the dog. Right? But also, I don't know a pot cake, I don't know a dog that has moved into the Johnson Road area that wants to move out. That's the life. Y'all remember, any of y'all old enough to remember the Juju Tree Club? Dick Moss Bar, y'all remember that? That's how pot cakes be living in Johnson Road right now. Right? The nighttime is the right time. And so we really just need to sit down and examine seriously the culture of animal and pet ownership in the country so that we can devise systems that work, so that we can have conversations with pet owners that are accessible, that they can understand, that resonate with them, right? So they really understand what it is you're trying to say, because sometimes you telling a pet owner that the way that they're treating their pet is inhumane or improper, and that owner is trying to show you, I hear you, but this is how we live. Right? Like, the conditions in which we are forced to live are inhumane, and the dog lives with us. Right? I just think, although it's very tragic circumstances, because the loss of a life is tragic, and the loss of an animal's life is tragic, and the loss of a pet is tragic. It's like a member of the family, right? These conversations could help us understand each other better and understand more critically the environment that we are living in. Again, like I say, when we admonish and chastise people about how they care for them, in many instances, they care for their animals in the same ways that they're forced to care for themselves and each other. That's why the people say, if you want to know what a country is like, look at how it treats its young people, its elderly, its animals, and vulnerable people in the country. So we got lots to talk about today. I want to hear from you. 323-6232, 325-4316. And 325-4259, 242-300-5720, toll-free for Family Island listeners, and 422-GR96, that's 422-4796, is the text line. What's on your mind this morning? I, of course, have a theme for this morning, and I think it follows from the conversation about this tragic incident. I wanted to ask the question, how do you, Christian, we're in the Lenten season? That's the question I wanted to ask. But I see I got a caller on the line, so we're going to go straight to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Miss Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Well, right, you all just report in the news yesterday that the gas prices in the States is $3.54 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't even August and July yet because of the war.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm bringing this up, right, this relates directly to your topic first about dogs.
Okay.
If the gas prices keep on raising, right, all this can be living like dogs on without air conditioning.
Okay. I thought you were going to say, right, that it's possible that prices rise so high that people may have to park their car and consider alternate means of transportation, right, through their day, which means then we have to put a serious focus on animal control, right? Because with far more people using public transportation and walking and sidewalks and having to use the road where there are no sidewalks and possibly be on the verge of people's yards, I figured this is the most important conversation right now. I thought that's what you was going to say.
Ms. Green, first of all, you ain't no beaming back in no car. And second of all, you could tell sweet Jesus, sky above, I ain't catching no bus. They can't drive.
Okay, yeah, because every day I ask myself, and I see that, what was it, 0371? I say, are these the bus drivers? Is this the bus driver that Joe Beth Colby tell me she consulted?
I love my life.
But we can't let, that's the problem. That's because we have more dollars than cents. But listen, I got two more callers on the line. I appreciate the point that you're making because I don't know how many of these bus drivers we could say reasonably we trust our children on the bus. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Well, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
So, good topic today. You know, it's not fair to say that all bus drivers are bad.
You're right.
And all dogs are bad.
Right.
I have a rescue in my vehicle as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
From the Humane Society, beautiful dog.
Sweet boy,
eh? It's a look like a lassie.
Mm-hmm.
Australia.
Okay.
And a white shepherd mix. I'll send you a photo one day. But the problem is, it's not the dogs that are bad. It's the people that treat dogs poorly.
Mm-hmm.
I see people throwing rock at dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen that?
Yeah, and I try to stop it.
If you throw a rock at a dog, what would you do with a human?
Exactly.
Same thing? So we need to have a proper bus system, like you say, with sky marshals, with undercover police on them.
Mm-hmm.
With body camera in the front and back of the police and camera on the bus as well. So when you act up, the police has the right to defend the citizens on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And for the last caller, don't say everybody could be parking their car. Bahamians are rich, number one. And number two, some Bahamians have solar panels to charge their electric scooter so they could still be moving through. And they wish the last 30 years of speaking to this, every Bahamian was at that level of having free solar to charge their electric vehicles so they wouldn't have to worry about this gas crisis. And the AC could be piping cold because they got solar to run the AC.
That
could have been free.
Graham, you have AC on your scooter? See, you rich. You got AC on your scooter.
I'm talking about a house. And everybody in this country is rich. In 2008, I said everyone's a millionaire in my country. And I can prove one day when I come on that show, if I have to pay to come on that show, to show you how. And you know I know because I'm a comet like you.
Listen.
You've been to Queen's College.
Because you say you're a comet, right? And because you run in St. Anne's constituency, I would love to have an array of candidates on from the different parties at the same time. And each candidate bring their best idea.
Bring them on. You're onto something big, you know. And this is sponsorship on to bed. And the hope to own the management of the radio is listening. You bring on anyone running in this constituency at the same time, and no row. You tell them to row, they get put out.
Yeah.
And you quiz them properly. And you start off, don't quiz the third party and the independent is hard because they've never been in. But the two who have been in, you have to open the show. You don't have no shame, hey.
Okay.
I got.
Yes, sir. But right, like, the idea that what you said just there at the end, that to apply equity, of course, the questions would be different because the experience is different, right? Good stuff. Let's go to the next caller. For a second, I thought Graham said he had AC on his scooter. That's why y'all is be just chillaxing in the third lane that don't exist. But public transportation is an essential. Right, that's when I say we have more dollars than cents, this is a perfect example of what I mean. Public transportation is an essential in your society. For people who say they ain't gonna never use it, I've used the bus, so I appreciate why people are hesitant to use the bus system. But we're not a real country if we don't have a public transportation system. That's a basic. Don't mind the car count and the me count and the fancy miscount. A country without a public transportation system is not a country. Let's go to the caller. Thank you, producer. Good morning, caller.
Hey, how you?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Okay, just two things I want to make a point about.
Mm-hmm.
One of the good things, and I'm not in the automotive industry or anything of that nature, prefacing what I'm about to say, because I was reading just a few days ago that giving some advice to persons based on this war and this gas situation and whatnot, it stated that if the average person would get a tune-up, a complete tune-up, they can save on average 2 to 3 gallons of fuel per week if they were to get a full tune-up, air filter, oil change, all that. It was, and they stated some facts in relation to that, but my advice would be to just, you know, just thought I'd throw out there that maybe you may need to look into getting your vehicle tuned up. You'll burn less gas, and that can save you quite a bit of money.
Cousin, would you do an after 5:30 this evening?
Huh?
Would you do an after 5:30? You have a second job?
I work for myself.
Oh, good stuff. We on the right path then, because look, all it takes, right? All it takes is for an individual or a small NGO, right, to go to BTVI and say to the union, to the administration, and to the student body, we put that statement you made, the fact on the wall that it's been determined that with proper maintenance of one's vehicle, one could reduce gas usage, right? Or gas wastage. Let's call it that term right now, right? So we put that on the board, and then we say, okay, so we have tons of cars, and we don't have enough mechanics.
Right.
So while we incentivize and encourage the students while they're there, and you say, because a guy could be there for construction training inside, I will also take up automotive certifications so that when I'm not on the construction site, I have a second stream of income possible. So it means that we need hundreds of mechanics. They could be like part-time. This may not be the bulk of your income.
Right.
Because the country is facing a potential energy crisis. And we know that we could take a small chip out of that crisis by ensuring that all the cars are properly maintained. This should be an incentive for the government as well, because although they collect tax whether the car, right, they're going to collect some sort of tax whether the car is running or not. They're going to get a tax even when you have to tow it to the salvage yard, right?
Definitely.
But we incentivize the government to, if not reduce the number of cars being brought in, right, that we can we can increase productivity, we can keep a little extra bit of change in consumers' pockets, and we can get more people in fulfilling employment, right? Like, so that statement you made, we need to put it on a board and then watch the outflow. I want to say outflows, but it's not economics. The opportunities that flow out from the problem.
Definitely.
Thank you.
And I just have one more point. I was actually having a discussion last evening with a number of my colleagues in relation to, let's say, for instance, I'm not saying that I'm politically inclined to anyone in particular, but has the thought ever happened, and I'm not probably aware of what the procedures are, but if, let's say, for instance, you had a governmental change with a entity that has never served in office before, and they have the majority of the seats, who is going to show them what to do if they've never had an opportunity and they're not either part of the major two parties? Who's going to show them what to do from day one?
Okay, so that's a great question. That's another question we can put on the board, right? Because I think the political culture has sort of obfuscated or made cloudy how government actually works, right? Mm-hmm. The minister is a policy maker.
Mm-hmm.
He comes from cabinet and he says, hey, these are the policies that we intend to implement in this ministry. He sits down with the PS, and the PS will invite to the meeting any department or unit heads that they think is appropriate to be involved, right? So the minister puts the policy down and says, this is what we want to do. Right. The PS looks at it, identifies the people who need to be in the room, And the PS says to the minister, this is how you can do it.
Right.
Right? If the policymaker says, I don't like the way you say we must do it, I want to do it this way, then the PS can go to, can say, well, let me refer this to the AG's office. So the AG's office could give us sort of the legal scope or the boundaries with, that we must remain within. The AG's office will tell us whether you can do it or not. The secretary to the cabinet should have sufficient institutional knowledge entrenched in the office and the individual so that they can advise the best way to go about implementing the policy. So the technical staff that exist in the ministry are the people who are going to tell the new team how it's done, right? But the way that we talk about governance or the way that politicians talk about it would lead us to believe that they are the technical experts.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Super. Thank you so much.
No, absolutely. Thank you for two great questions, contributions to interrogate. So let's go to the text line. I got a text that it says, Aaron, I could swear one of Duke's offsprings resides in my neighbor's yard in the West. That dog is a crafty escape artist. The owner is still trying to figure out how this dog escapes. Right? See, there's something about the pot cake. This boy just don't want to stay home. At some point, play the song by Avi Einger in Home Producer. Because that's what the dog is like. Like, I love you, but there's so much car to bark out here. So much human to potentially feed me and love me. Why are you going home to get robbed by the neighbors? Here's another text. Aaron, who showed Pinling them how to run a newly formed country? You can learn anyone. You can learn. Anyone can learn. It's a job. Right, but who? They learn from the technical staff that remained, right, as we transition to independence. But there needs to be a standard, and there needs to be people to show the standard. So, yes, they can learn. So, if the COI wins the government, they will have the entire public service, the administration, and the technical experts to inform them of how they can implement the policies, and then with further interrogation, you determine what is required. Do I need legal, do I need policy changes, regulation changes? Do I need legislative amendments or changes to affect a policy that we want to affect? Here's another text. I'd like to see them revamp the bus system. In fact, give it a full overhaul. I'd like to see them, okay, you're absolutely right. It needs a full overhaul, and it is possible. And producer, let's prep the caller coming to you right now. We could have the balance of things, you know. A public transportation system doesn't mean you have to give up your car. It just means that you have more options of when you need to use it. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. When these newly MPs go to these political parties, they don't know nothing about governance. The PSS runs the governance of this country. They only there to sign the papers and do what. So I'm trying to figure out what is your question.
So the question that the caller put on the table was, right? Like, if a party is elected to government that has never governed before, how do they learn the ropes?
So so what you're saying is now all of these people are behemoths, whether they support the PLP or FNM. So you're telling me if a new party gets in that never governed before, they're going to fire everybody and try to bring in their...
No, nobody said... No. Oh, I miss C.A. Nuri. No. Nothing of the sort was said. Nobody implied anything of the sort. Nobody said anything that would lead to a reasonable inference that would lead you to infer that's what was being said surreptitiously. That's like cloudy in a cloudy way. What I said was that ministers don't run the government. Ministers present to the ministry the policy that emanate from cabinet. The PS determines which staff, technical staff, expertise, consultants need to be involved to effect the policy that the minister wants in place. The PS may have to advise a minister that the way that the minister wants to implement the policy is not possible given the legal constraints that exist. The PS may say to the minister, let us send this to the AG's office with a note so that they can advise us of the best way to implement the policy. Notice, I didn't say, the PS didn't say, no, you can't do that, minister. The PS's job is to see what is the best way to implement the policy. See, then we rely on the Senate. Like when a law is passed, we rely on the Senate, the people who should have institutional knowledge because of their expertise, their longstanding participation in particular sectors. They also, at that level, can turn a bill back and say, we've seen this over and over again. It would be reckless of us to pass this law given what we know and what is documented, and we can point you to it. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hi, good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
And good morning to the nation. Aaron,
yes.
Let's have a 60-second conversation.
Okay.
So, I hear everything that you're saying, right, with respect to new administration having to learn, and they're learning from what has been there for centuries, right? So, are we saying then that the reason we are in the position we are in is because we're learning from the same set of people who've been there for centuries?
No.
We're learning governance and we're learning how a country functions, because case in point, if the COI were to come in as government, okay, they have to learn from somewhere. They're learning from the same system that has been there. And when the COI has this big dream that they can change the nation and make this different and make that different, when they get in there with these same old people who have to train them, aren't you saying to me then that we are not going forward but yet backwards? Because now what we're doing is putting our country on hold to train a new administration how to run the country.
Okay,
so where does that bring growth? Where does that bring changes?
Okay, so let me answer. Because I think that's a great question that you, a great question that you're framing out, right?
Yeah.
There is always the risk of stagnancy or lack of continuity of policy in governance change. Remember, we experience a similar dynamic. We call it stop, review, cancel.
Exactly.
Right? Bang. So, what I'm saying, what I'm saying though, is not that we have to stop and it will stagnate our development. It will be a test though, right? It will be a test of their ingenuity, their innovation, their forward thinking, their critical and strategic capacity, right? It will be a test. And then the question for us Bahamians is, are we prepared to take the risk? Right? Because the risk is that they're not prepared. Now, to a point you made earlier, when the minister sends the policy to the PS, right? And says, this is the way I want to do it. And the PS says, well, we've never done it that way and there are reasons why, but let me give this to the AG's office so they can write us an advice, right? So the AG brings back advice and says, listen, we've tried A, B, C, and D, none of it works. We don't think you should move forward. The minister then should find a team that can help them, help the minister write a new policy statement that could be successful or effective, right? That they could achieve. So it is a risk. The test is, and it's a test, and we will see on day one whether they are up for the job. But all the time in the world, see, they've had all of this time to prepare themselves for the job. And that's why I tell people, don't tell me vote for you and wait and see if you could do the job.
Exactly.
The walk to the election is where the test is. And you should be showing us every day that you are able to affect change or actualize big goals without the power of government.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate the point you put on the table.
I agree with you, Aaron. And I put it to you that, you know, I believe that a country goes forward if you have a stable enough government that is running the country and you don't have to be changing administrations every 5 years, whereas it puts you in a stagnant position. If you have a government that is functioning and that is moving the people forward, I mean, why change the government and put yourself in a position where you go back at the drawing board again? I mean, for me, it doesn't make much sense. But I guess it's something that the VM and people have to think about.
And I'm sure it is something that they do weigh. They do think about it, right, when they're considering who to vote for. I want to be facetious now, so let's end the call. Because this is such a great conversation, right? Because I also appreciate what the caller is saying, which is, if we are concerned about the source, why would we just send another crew of people to the source? And why would we send neophytes who have no real context to discern what is true and what is untrue at the source? I wanted to make a point about politicians uniting, because typically they don't, right? But here's what the point is. In some developed countries, even through governance changes, you see that the national development plan remains the same. There's very little that our two political parties agree on, except public disclosures. And I'm looking at this headline. I'm on the second part of the story where it says, ex-MP points to his own growing wealth as proof disclosure laws lack teeth. Minutes really want to get elected. Let's go to the phone line, producer. Good morning, caller.
Hello, I'd like to go on the show.
You are on the air, sir. How are you?
Oh, fine. And you, Aaron?
Yes, yes. Good morning.
Good morning. I must say, this is a very interesting conversation. I appreciate the way that you are breaking everything down, and you're very factual in what you are saying. I will tell you what the main problem is now with what is going on in the government. There is too much political interference in the running of the government.
Yes.
Like you said, their job was just to lay out policies and let the technocrats run the country. That is ideal how it's supposed to do. But in the Bahamas, they lay out policies and the politicians interfere with the technocrats and tell them how to do what they want to do. That is our main problem, and that is what we need to correct.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely,
bye.
Thank you. And again, the PS doesn't direct the minister, right? The PS's job is to see how to implement what it is the minister wants to do. So it's not the PS telling the minister no, it's the law telling the minister no. And again, the minister has the resources, it's called the resources, but the opportunity to then meet with fellow legislators and say, hey, I'm trying to affect this policy. There are legal constraints. I've examined the law. Here's a draft of an amendment that I think will allow us to affect this policy without changing the law, like the effect or the nature of the law. Right? And they go to the legislators, and the legislators will sit and talk about it, and then you take it to a vote. The law is changed, and then now the minister can go back and say, listen, the law has changed. I understand the impact of this amendment or legal change, not just that it will now allow or enable my policy implementation, but I understand how it will affect the sector that the legislation governs or provides oversight for. Right? Let's go to the phone line. Sorry about that, caller. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, this question about an inexperienced government, right? Mm-hmm. Persons in government. It never was around. When the DNA was around, it was about arrogance. Mm-hmm. You know, but you know, we knock this word around average. You know, like, I'm speaking about the below average people. When you say average behemoth, you have many behemoths, the majority of it below average. Same as when you talk about understanding the law, mm-hmm. you understand your average student should be able to comprehend the law and the procedures in parliament, the way parliament is run. They could just look at one session of parliament and understand how these people be gaslighting mm-hmm. each other in parliament, right? And when you talk about policy, man, we got this thing called AI. You got some people who talk about the information age. What you think the information age is? You having the information and a device in your hand. That's the information age. All you got to do is be an literacy. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay,
you don't have to be
pin.
Functional.
Okay, but stick a pin. See? That's it right there.
Functional
and average literacy. But here's what the problem is. Hold on. Here's what the problem is. That the average literacy level is not sufficient to properly understand legalese, legal language. So, but you see, so you kind of...
Before you cut me off, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a licensed electrician, a single phase. I did a theory exam and single phase license, electrical installation license, right?
Mm-hmm.
The code book is a law. It's like a law book.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? All you need is, like I say, literacy. You have functional literacy. We don't have nobody inventing nothing in the Bahamas, so they ain't function. Whatever they learn, they like fish. They only went to school. They, you understand? None of us functioning.
The ones
in Parliament, they ain't functioning. They're not functioning literally.
Listen, thank you very much. Let's prep the caller. I had a plumber come to my house to detect a leak, I guess, right? We're trying to figure out what's going on. There's a leak. But you know what the guy said to me? He said, listen, we gotta chop this wall to find the leak. I tell him, no, sir. And he looking at me like, what's wrong? Like, you use a plumber? I say, what you gonna do? He say, we can chop it up, we can chop the wall right here. I said, look me in my face and tell me what you gonna do again. He say, we can chop it. We can chop into the wall. I say, big bro, I'm not paying you any money to come to my house to chop up my wall. If you expect me to pay you money, you need to walk in this house and say, Miss Green, we've come to identify the leak. We may need to cut into your wall. We are not certain where the leak is yet, so we may cut a large portion of your wall out. There is an alternative. We could find somebody to find the leak. That's right. So you see the difference? I mean, so he's talking about literacy. And the manual, the person that came to my, the person who comes to the house and says, we can chop your wall, they have not read the manual. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Hello, Ms. Green.
Hi, good morning.
Ms. Green, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Thank you, man. Thanks for taking my call. You know, there is a place in our country where politicians agree and they don't stop review and cancel.
Mm-hmm.
They are from different sides of the political realm, the FNM, the PLP, the COI, and all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been part of an organization where they meet every month from you as a boy, you were born before I was born. And we call it the Lodge. The PLPs and FNMs, them, they all meet. And at the end of the day, from you were born and I was born, the Lodge called itself the Masons and the Elks was always being carried on.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have a worshipful master in the East. He's called the worshipful master, but he's a FNM. And then the prime minister is in the same hall. He's a PLP. And both of them are 33rd degree Masons.
But, hold on. Sparky, this is like Fight Club. People in Fight Club don't talk about Fight Club, Sparky.
That's what I'm saying, Mr.
Okay, go on.
At the end of the day, they all agree, and the Lodge itself continues in the direction what they plan to do from 40, 50 years ago.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
I hear you.
They don't change. They don't come in when PFB worship master come on. They say we can stop what the other fellas are doing and we can start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
We only do that down in the House of Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that in the Mason Lord. Last night I went back to Royal Eagle for the last time and the first time in over 30 years. They honored me. They made me cry. I mean, everybody was there. PLPs, F&M, and this and that and the next.
I got you. Oh, I understand.
Hold on. I couldn't get upstairs three flights because of my leg and my walking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They lifted me and took me upstairs, and two guys brought my chair behind me.
What brothers
And they
will
took
do
me back
other.
Downstairs, gave me refreshments, and they sent me on my merry way. But they are still working towards the same thing they was working on when I was 24 years old. Nothing has changed.
Okay, I can end it right there, Sparky. I can end it right there. Thank you for the story, and congratulations on being recognized, honored, and your life and work commemorated. Y'all hear me? I almost fall off my chair when that conversation started. But then I said to myself, Aaron, your grandmother was a member of the, I think, the Eastern Star, and your father was a member of the Lodge. So you cannot talk about it because you don't want people to say things to make you feel uncomfortable about your family, right? But congratulations. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning. I was initiated in the Lodge. You're not supposed to talk it, so I won't go that far. But I do personally feel that there is a very tight connection between the Lodge and Lucifer himself. And I'll just rest up right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell
me something, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Does Freeport, mm-hmm. the actual Freeport and the governance of the port,
mm-hmm.
Is that a form of local government?
So, it's a form of stratified government, but I don't think it's local government. I've heard it described loosely as like a city, like a country within a country,
mm-hmm.
but it's not necessarily local government. But it could be likened to it, but I wouldn't say it's the exact same thing.
Okay, because they pay annual fees to the government.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to take care of all of the utilities. I understand that they are upscale with what they're doing compared to how government managed their utilities. Am I right about that?
We get the sense, yes.
Yeah. So it appears to me as though we would rather have more of, I would rather have like two individuals making a decision than to have 40 people who can't get along. Or two families, if you want to use the mm-hmm. prime minister's phrase, making a decision than 40 families who are divided in two and can't get along, just banging on desks all day and really not getting along. It appears to me that the Port Authority in Grand Bahama aggressive form of governance. It's not unreasonable to say, eh?
Yeah, not at all.
So why is it that the government is attacking?
It appears as such, right? It appears as such. And that's what I'm most concerned about, that the impact of the language being used on the overall discussion. But listen, we got to go to a break. As we go to a break, I'm going to tell you, when we get back from the break, not only am I reading text, but I'm reading a couple of headlines, including this one. PM, GBPA was asset stripped by its owners. I didn't know we'd mine irony in Grand Bahama. And look at me, I'm the conqueror of the Grand Bahama Empire, and I didn't know that. You guys, stay tuned. On the Clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back. 96.9 FM.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely can buddy. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do they work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me, for? And when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
The following is a paid political message.
Kalani, warring. Hey! Kalani, oh, the future is brighter. Oh, vote for MacGyver. Hey, cause she is a fighter. For you. She is a fighter.
That was a paid political message.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Okay, I got text to read, but here we go. PM, GBPA was asset stripped by its owners. The PM last night accused, this is in yesterday's Nassau Tribune. The Prime Minister last night accused the Grand Bahama Port Authority's two owners of asset stripping by transferring its productive economic assets to an entity and leaving Freeport's quasi-governmental authority a regulatory shell with minimal income. And I just thought, where have I seen this story before? Was it on Lifetime TV? Was it on TBS? Was it on the Learning Channel? No, it was on ZNS. It was on the station managed by our government. Because is this not the same thing that the government has been doing for a couple of decades now? Transferring our most productive economic assets to affiliated entities, leaving us wondering what is happening. Like I have to go to a private company to search archives, and I got to pay a private company to access records that the government is supposed to be holding. And I got to go through a private company's protocols to do things that I'm supposed to be able to do with my government. BPL, BTC, what else? There's more. Right? Even healthcare. With all these welcomed clinics all over the place that provides a space for people who don't have enough money to go to doctors and don't have enough time to wait to die at PMH. But it's been outsourced to private entities. So, you're going to do this? Is this? Anyway, let's go to the next headline. XPM points to his own growing wealth as proof. Disclosure laws lack teeth. I'm going to read from the middle of the article. I got up for a reason. Last year, my declaration was about $14 million. I'm not ashamed of that. This is Mr. Hubert Minnis. Sorry. Dr. Hubert Minnis, Kalani MP, speaking. It was about $14 million. This year, my declaration has gone up. Quote, we were a country of laws and enforcement. They should have called me in. They should have called me in and questioned me as to how. Explain how my assets have had increased by millions of dollars, just like they should have called the individuals who moved from $50,000 to $3 million to $4 million. Until we deal with those matters, our country will continue to deteriorate, close quote. So a couple of things. The way that it works, right, is that the declarations are supposed to be gazetted. And in the public that queries the information can then launch an inquiry. The right, a member of the public, after the information has been gazetted, has the opportunity to do exactly what you think the commission should be doing. But guess what? I don't think that's the commission's job. And guess what? You used to be in charge of the commission, sir. How do you not know how it's supposed to work? And how come when you were in charge, you didn't take the advice of all of the politicians that is laugh at us when they think we can't hear them, but y'all don't even know what you're talking about, Ms. Green. You don't even know that the law is bad and needs to be changed. Why you and your friends didn't change it, good sir, Casey? This is laughable. It's not their job. It's our job once the data has been gazetted. But like the U.S. government has to remind us every year, the last time there was a proper gazetting outside of electoral gazetting, right, electoral disclosures, declarations, and gazetting, the last publication of the disclosures of the declarations was in 2011. That's 15 years ago. And it only covered up to 2008. But guess what, Dr. Minnis? You could publish all of this information to us. You could give it to us without the government's assistance. And then we could make the determination as the law requires if the information was gazetted. I don't believe every day y'all get up and just say things to us. Like why I wasted all of Lila Green money trying to get a good education to wake up every morning to look at this. Here's another article. Rosewood Exuma bid, quote, did not initially meet sustainable standards. Nassau Tribune, 10th of March, 2026. This is just an excerpt. A piece of the article. The $200 million project, quote, did not initially meet standards for sustainable development, close quotes. The government's top environmental regulator has revealed, while also being challenged for citing Nassau Harbor and Arawaki as comparisons for its likely environmental impact. Listen, Dr. Neely Murphy, the DEPP's director, right, made those statements. I'm going to continue reading from the article where it says, however, the Davis administration had approved the project in principle, despite it then not fully conforming with sustainable development standards. Good morning, caller. Good morning. My apologies. Good morning, caller. You still there? All right. I'm sorry. We missed you. Let's go to the text line quickly as we end the show. Text says, also, the PLP and FNM only disagree on which of the 15 families should receive everything. Y'all miss Dr. Minnis pleading to his bipartisan colleagues that the politicians need to firm up and tell the Bahamian people no more free health care. I wonder if they're going to agree on that. Aaron, to the last caller who spoke about the government interfering with the technocrats, it was never more prominent than when Bell granted the Haitian woman citizenship in the church. I don't know, but I'm willing to interrogate it because it says, how did he get the certificate in his custody? Because he asked for it, right? I think what Bell explained that there's no, what he did was not outside of the scope of the law. Text, they say it again. Another text, Minnis, morning, Aaron, the declaration needs to be more detailed because that form that they published looked like a high school form. Minnis have all the bright ideas now that he is no longer in office. Remember when in the by-election for West Grand Bahama, the PLP candidate on the form, it said, like bank account, it say zero. Securities, it say $200,000. $200,000. How, where you keep it? You ain't got no bank account? How you keep the bank account? How you keep the securities if you don't have a bank account? And that person wasn't disqualified for not being able to read. Anyway, the music is a clear indication that I am done talking. Here we go. By the time the PLP won, they had already won a number of seats. So tell these folks asking about new parties winning governments, try hard to win some seats. Listen, Texas, I'm sorry I didn't get to all of the texts today, but there's tomorrow. So please tune in again. Stay tuned today. These guys got more fresh news, smart talk day. And C.A. Nuri is up next. Guardian Radio, AM. Have a great day, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.